Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out there.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years allows Father and I to be here on Wednesday afternoons and the rest of our team Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on 800 AM WTMR and over their website, the WTMR website, or grab their app for your tablet or smartphone and listen to us that way. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, Our House Ministries, also spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. Also send out an email at least once a week, usually by Thursday morning, with the highlights of the Wednesday shows along with links to the recordings. You can find that at notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. A couple of people over the past few weeks have subscribed. It's free. An easy way to get reminded if you happen to miss a show. We've got a Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. That's at 29th and Dickinson Streets. The shrine's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following daily mass at 8:30 in the morning and open until about 4:30 in the afternoon. On Tuesdays, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, followed by prayers and benediction. And on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we pray a rosary over by the Matt Talbot Shrine. Well, we're more than welcome to come down and join us. If you're going to come down, be sure to get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website, and Father and or I can meet you over in church. Let's see. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of the passing of Matt Talbot, which will take place in June of this year. We've got the Matt Talbot film that's in progress. Almost all the filming's been done. The producer, Bill Rose, is busy editing the film now. We're still in need of some financial help to finish the project. You can learn about the project at matttalbotfilm.com. And then in June, there'll be a pilgrimage headed over to Ireland. We'll start in the west of Ireland on when we arrive on the morning of June 2nd. And we'll make our way east and spend the weekend in Dublin with the celebration of a number of masses and other things for Matt Talbot. If you want information about that pilgrimage, the best bet is to email me at ken@inhissign.com. That's ken@inhissign.com. We just got the brochure for the trip, and I can send you off a copy of that and answer any questions you may have. This is the beginning of the month, so this coming Friday, although Father McKay won't be there, it is First Friday out at the Malvern Retreat House. Father Mike Davis, the new rector, will be offering First Friday Mass at 7:30 in the Family Life Center, followed by a breakfast where they just ask for a free will donation. Again, that's 7:30 Mass, followed by breakfast at in the Family Life Center at Malvern. That's this coming Friday, February the 7th. I think that's it in the way of announcements. So why don't we start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, Make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Taubin, St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Agatha and St. Thomas Aquinas.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of Christ rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. So where does the time go? We're already in the fourth week in Ordinary Time. And a full slate of saints and feast days this week. On Sunday the 2nd, we celebrated the presentation of the Lord. On Monday the 3rd, we had two saints, St. Blaise, Bishop and Martyr, and St. Ansgar, Bishop. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Agatha, Virgin and Martyr. Tomorrow the 6th, it's St. Paul Mickey and Companions. They were martyrs. And then on Saturday the 8th, we've got St. Jerome Emiliani and St. Josephine Bakita, St. Josephine being a virgin. So we're going to start with the saint of the day today, and it's St. Agatha. And a while back, we talked about St. Agnes, and St. Agatha is kind of in the same mold, if you will, being a virgin and martyr. Butler doesn't have a date documented. I saw elsewhere where they think she was martyred around the year 231. And from Sicily, a couple different cities claim her, Palermo and Catania, and she would actually die of martyrdom at Catania. Like Agnes, she was a consecrated virgin. Very young, she made that consecration. And there were people that were after her physical beauty and refusing to give it up. They had her, again, arrested and taken to a brothel. And, again, I had mentioned when we talked about Agnes, and it still resounds in my mind that, you know, how Tertullian wrote that that the people of those days, they would rather die than suffer impurity. And certainly that's what happened here with Agatha, and all kinds of physical torture that she underwent, in addition to imprisonment and spending time in that brothel. And it almost sounds, Father, like towards the end when she was ready to go, that she made the decision when she was going to pass, and she prayed, "Lord, my Creator, Thou hast always protected me from the cradle. Thou hast taken me from the love of the world and given me patience to suffer. Receive now my soul." And it was after she said these words that she would breathe her last. Interestingly enough, she's a patroness of fire prevention. There was soon after her death, she was given credit for preventing an eruption of the volcano Mount Etna. And they say that because there were bells ringing, that when the volcano would come, that the guilds of bell founders took St. Agatha as their patroness as well. She's got two 6th century churches in Rome that were dedicated in her honor, and she is named in the canon of the Mass. So when if and when we hear Eucharistic prayer number one, along with Agnes, we'll hear St. Agatha. So, St. Agatha, whose feast we celebrate each year on February the 5th. Father?
Yeah, Ken. Also, she's the patron of breast cancer. And that really comes from the governor who becomes the judge, you know, who wants her beauty, who's lusting for her, tries to get her to give in and sends her to a brothel, and that doesn't work. And then he sends her to prison, and they torture her to no end and lay her over coals. She's rolling over hot coals, all kinds of tortures and torment. And then finally they crushed her breasts and even cut them off. And it sounds morbid, but really, on her feast day, a lot of people, they bring bread because she's very often was depicted with her breasts on a dish. And people say, well, that looks like bread, and they started to make it for bread. But because of that, she's the patron saint of breast cancer. And I think that's good to know because there's so much breast cancer in women today, and even in men. You know, the men having breast cancer as well. So she's the patron saint there. But also, her purity was just so beautiful, as you alluded to there, Ken. And it was something Bishop Sheen said. He said, there's no sin that enslaves more quickly than the sin of lust, and it doesn't enslave us. But she was never given to that. She was married to Jesus. That was her bridegroom. And nobody could take that away, you know, not even the governor and the judge. And she stayed faithful in that virginity of hers, consecrated virgin. But St. Methodius, he said this in a sermon. I think this is so beautiful. Quote, a true virgin, she wore the glow of a pure conscience and the chrism of the lamb's blood for her cosmetics. Again and again, she meditated on the death of her eager lover. For her, Christ's death was recent, his blood still moist. Her robe is a mark of her faithful witness to Christ. It bears the indelible marks of the chrism blood and the shining threads of her eloquence. She offers to all who come after her these treasures of her eloquent confession. I mean, that's so powerful when you hear that the blood of Jesus was recent to her. It was moist. And there it is, that all of us, we're at Calvary, whether we know it or not. You know, it's the Paschal mystery. You know, any homily, it should be referring to that all the time. You know, it's the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. You know, that's what we're united to in our baptism. And we're there at Calvary. He sees, you know, at that Last Supper, when he took the bread and the cup, he looked up to heaven, he saw everything. It was all done there. It'd be carried out in the externals. But it was all there. And he could see all of us until the end of time. This is our God hanging there. He saw it all. He saw all of our sins and atoned for them. And he saw all the good things we would do. And that's an incentive not to do evil or sin, to do good, to alleviate his suffering and our Blessed Mother's suffering as well. But, it's that, you know, the kerygma. It's the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what the saints always had in their mind. It's like even Aquinas, you know, all the saints, it's, you know, 5 minutes meditation on his passion is worth more than all of our other devotions, hours on hours on hours on end. But there it is, you know, seeing Jesus Christ crucified, you know. And for me, looking up and hearing him say, Douglas, I did this for you, because it is so personal, the Mass. And I really believe we will see that at the end, just how personal it really is when he destroys our death, takes that last breath, and brings us home between the hearts of his mother, right to the Father and to all our loved ones there who are waiting for us. But Ken, you mentioned, you know, in my homily today, I saved that for the end, her last words, and I want to repeat them again. Quote, Lord, my Creator, thou hast always protected me from the cradle. You have taken me from the love of the world, and you have given me patience. Receive now my soul. I can't tell you, you know, how many years that resonates in my heart, those last words. Receive now my soul. I've been saying it all day, you know. I always like the prayers, you know. You should look for aspirations during the day because we're always attacked by Satan. You know, our minds are cluttered with so much worldliness and so much sinfulness and distractions. And we need to interject, you know, prayers throughout our day. And it's so beautiful because it keeps us right there in the center of the kingdom of God. It keeps us in the center with the cross, and we cross over into all those wonderful graces that Jesus won for us. But all day long I've been praying that prayer, you know, Lord, receive now my soul. Just like today I said, Ken, I had to come downstairs because they're working on the house in the back and it's noisy and they got motors running. And it's like in the morning, cars are starting up when I'm in deep prayer. You know, I'm really in a contemplative mode and I'm hearing these muffler cars that are going on and on and on. It's so disturbing. And I just turn right to the Lord. Receive now my soul. Receive now my soul. And so all these little sacrifices become little arrows and avenues and really means right back to Jesus crucified. And more than that, you know, it's a means. This crucifixion is a means to eternal life. It's a means to the Father. It's a means to the fullness of life. It's the virtues of Christ. It's the peace. It's the joy. And it's the love. But those last words, I always like the last words of the saints. Receive now my soul. Ken, you know, I was saying yesterday, like I always trying to get my own aspirations to pray. And it was like, Lord, please, Lord, you know, it's Jesus' mercy, please, and thank you. Lord Jesus, mercy, please, and thank you. Anytime something happens, Lord, let your mercy come upon me. Bring me right back to you. Bring me into that peace of the kingdom, into your very heart. You know, but today it was like, receive now my soul, even though it's hers. But, you know, I'm a copycat there. I want that. I want to use that prayer all day long. I've used it all my life, you know, and sometimes I forget about it, and then our feast day comes, and I remember it. It's such a beautiful prayer. St. Paul said, imitate me. Paul's saying, imitate me. Well, who are you, Paul? Imitate you. Imitate me because I imitate Christ. And it's like, you know, when I was younger, and basketball, even baseball, I hung around a lot with the older guys, not my age group, but older guys. And I would play basketball, and I would become better at it because they were better than me. And I would watch how they play, you know, and I would imitate them. And then I would go and play with my age group, and I was a lot better than most of them. And, you know, some of them were better, but I was a lot better because I was imitating those who were older who knew the game better than me. And I think that's how it is with our brothers and sisters, the saints. They've been there. They've been to the top. They've been to the summit. And they're telling us how to get there, and we're hearing about their beautiful prayers. And I just love those last prayers that they pray, that they utter, you know. You see so many saints, and you know, the last prayers are like the last prayers of Jesus on the cross. You know, it's like Jesus, you know, Ignatius of Loyola, Saint Francis, Xavier, Saint Francis de Sales. So many died with the name Jesus on their lips, but they prayed that all their lives. You know, or Father, into your hands I commend my spirit, like King Louis prayed that. You know, into your hands I commend my spirit. But those last words, you know, of our brothers and sisters, the saints, they're teaching us something because those last words had something to do so profoundly with their spiritual life that they kept echoing, you know, those words, just not at that the hour, but all throughout their lives. So that prayer, receive now my soul, I'm going to keep doing it no matter what the distractions come and the heartaches come and the difficulties, the trials, the tribulations, they come. They bombard us. You know, I'm still recovering from my sickness, and it's like in the darkness, it's like Satan, you know, being assaulted in and out, you know. And I'm experiencing what John of the Cross talked about, the three demons that will attack you when you get closer to God, blasphemy, fornication, and dizziness. You know, you start to feel anger, blasphemy, and fornication. Bad words are raising up. They're not my words. I'm not angry, but yet I'm having these feelings. You know, my first movement, I have no control over it. It's that second movement where the grace is. And I want you, Jesus. I want to do your will. And, you know, John of the Cross says, when you see these three demons attacking, you know you're getting closer to God because Satan's paying more attention to us now because we're moving out of the darkness into that light. And Ken, I think about that light, you know, really, that light of Christ. That's what they lived in, even in the darkness. These saints, Agatha, all the saints, they have such a tremendous faith. And I quoted this today because I first heard this quote today from Elizabeth of the Trinity. Faith is an experience of heaven in the darkness. And it's always that light of Christ. And I don't have to curse the darkness. Light a candle. see Jesus there. He's the usher. He's ushering me out of the darkness into light. Growing up around here, Ken, we had two movies, the Bell movie and the Earl movie. And when we would go into the movie, you were blinded. You couldn't see. And if you went down the aisle by yourself, you could wind up sitting in somebody's lap. So the usher was always there with the flashlight. And he would usher you down, and he would shine the light on an empty seat, and you would sit down. There it is. That's Jesus, the light of the world. He's shining that light in the darkness and showing us where to go and how to go. But we got to turn our hearts to him and to that grace that's always there. The reason why we have too few saints is remarkable resistance to grace. That the greater sin is not the act of the sin. It's the refusal of the grace. Because we've all been condemned in the sin. Here comes Jesus with his grace. His hand is outstretched. Come to me. All I got to do is turn and take his hand, receive that grace, and I'm okay. I'm with him. He takes me through the darkness, you know, through the trials, the tribulations, and I start experiencing these consolations, this burst of joy, this peace, this felt love, you know, that he wants so much for us to have. But we got to be like the saints. We got to do what they do and imitate them. What did they do? They lived the gospel, the whole gospel, nothing but the gospel. They fasted, they prayed, they gave alms, they renounced the world, and they gave themselves to Jesus, just like Agatha, madly in love with him. And she became his bride, and nothing could hurt her. There was no fear because she was in the present moment, always in that present moment. For Christians, there is no tomorrow. It's only the now, to live in the now like the saints, like Agatha and all of them. They live in the now, the present moment, where all the graces are. And if you take that now and you turn that now around backwards, it's going to spell W-O-N. We won the kingdom. When I take his hand and take that grace, I am in the kingdom of God. I am with Jesus. He's at my side, and I shall not be disturbed, Ken. But we get so much from our brothers and sisters, the saints. But I love those last words of hers. I'll repeat them. Lord, my Creator, you have always protected me from the cradle. You have taken me from the love of the world, and you've given me patience. Receive now my soul.
Amen. And you were mentioned early on about when we go to Mass and witnessing the consecration and what we should see. And they mentioned Father Mike Davis is over at Malvern now, and my friend Father Wackerman backfilled for Father Davis out there at Assumption BVM. To our friends that may live in Feasterville, please welcome him. You've got a really good priest that'll be ministering to you now. But in his last homily that he gave this past weekend at St. Luke's for the Feast of the Presentation, he talked about how some people see things and other people don't, or people can look at the same thing and see something completely different. And he used Jesus as the example. You know, when Jesus is born in Bethlehem, people see a poor couple with a baby, but the shepherds and the magi, they saw the Messiah. And at the Feast of the Presentation, you know, people that may have seen Mary and Joseph going into the temple with a baby may have just seen that, you know, a husband and wife and a baby. But Simeon and Anna, they saw the Messiah. And so he asked the congregation at Mass, you know, when you come into church, do you just see a tabernacle, or do you see the living body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ? And at the consecration, do you just see bread and wine, or do we see our Lord in again body, blood, soul and divinity? And for our recovery friends that listen, one of the lines that we hear quite often is that when we sober up, when we get clean, we get a new pair of glasses. And I think so many people walk around this planet with, you know, eyes to see but don't see, and ears to hear but don't hear. And, you know, we see things today and, hopefully with the eyes of Christ, or at least informed eyes based on the teachings of our Lord and Savior. And there's many people that walk around and just don't. When we talked about the presentation last night, I didn't share about that last night. I thought about double dipping, but I let it go. But what I did share about was the, you know, suffering. And there's so many ways to see suffering. You can just see it as, you know, bad luck, or if you do believe in God, that God's out to get you. Or, you know, you can look at suffering as an opportunity to, you know, accept whatever it is that God's allowing to happen to you in order to benefit yourself and potentially to help others. You know, we say that offering it up, is, you know, a lot of us learned it as kids in grade school. And, you know, as adults, you sometimes will, you know, think that that's not, you know, that's not really not a great thing. But, it, you know, redemptive suffering, there's a lot to be said for it. So, like Father Wackerman said, you can have two people looking at the exact same thing and seeing two completely different things. And so like him, I'd, you know, encourage people to try to look at things with the eyes informed by our faith, informed by Scripture, informed by the Catechism, that tells us that not everything that we're looking at is what it would appear to be, that there's usually something much greater behind it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Spiritual blindness. You made me think of Bartimaeus. He's blind. And then Jesus, bring him to me. And he, like a dart, goes over to the Lord, leaves his old cloak there. And Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see.
Mm.
And he says, receive your sight. And then Bartimaeus follows Jesus up the road. You know, whenever you hear scripture like that, yeah, okay. Literally, he healed a physical blindness. But it's always a spiritual meaning on there, and it's about you and me, and that's spiritual blindness. Do we see him? Do we follow him up the road to Calvary? Do we make our hearts one with his when we suffer with his suffering? Or are we spiritually blind that we're looking for consolations and pleasures and all the things of worldliness? But to really come to Christ is to really pick up our own crosses with his and follow him. He's taken us somewhere. When he says to deny yourself, it's not for nothing. He wants to give us the kingdom, more than we can even ask for or imagine. And I know in my sickness, Ken, this past month, he's been shining his light. I'm seeing things in me that I really didn't see before. And I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. But I thank him for letting me see it, because he's given me the grace to see it, and he'll give me the grace to correct it. But that spiritual blindness, we all have it. And blind pride, for example. I have to say this story. When I was in DuPont's, working in DuPont's, I often think about this. I needed glasses. I never knew it. And we were at lunch, and one of the guys took his safety glasses off, which were prescription glasses. And just at random, I took his glasses and I put them on. Wow, I could see the menu. I could see the numbers on the clock. And I realized I need glasses. Right away, I went to the eye doctor. He said, boy, do you need glasses? I couldn't wait to get them. About a week later, I got them. I remember it was Broad Street. It was a doctor there, an ophthalmologist. And I came out with my new glasses. I mean, I was like Clark Kent. It's like I could read the numbers on the buses. I used to miss buses because it was on top of me. I couldn't read the number if it was a 33 over 12, and it would pass by me, not even knowing that I needed, glasses. And then I could see the twigs, you know, on the trees, freckles on people's faces. It was like, wow. And, it was just a gift. And then I realized, you know, is it possible that I'm also spiritually blind and I don't know it? And I said, I'm going to take a spiritual examination, take a look. Ken, I went through the commandments. I went through the Sermon on the Mount. I went through the Beatitudes. And boy, did I fall short. I said, man, I've been spiritually blind. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. I was blind, and now I see. And to follow Jesus more clearly. But here's the thing. We can live in that blindness and not even know we're blind. And, you know, the devil's trying to keep us out of the kingdom. And if you could take a tape recorder and put it in our minds and then play it at night to see all the negative thinking that we did and all the worldliness that we did, it would make us sick at heart. And that's why I'm saying that, we need to make sacrifices. And if I'm making those little sacrifices, the Lord's not going to call me to bigger sacrifices. But when I start making these little sacrifices, these little self-denials, I'm going to find a joy in that. I'm going to want to do more because I'm coming closer to him, and that light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And there it is. It's like, take those sacrifices and do something about it. You know, repent. Change. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Amen.
Turn to the gospel. Live the gospel. Take that faith examination. Look at the gospel. If I compare myself to other people, I'm doing pretty well. I compare myself to Jesus. I'm falling far short. And so he's letting me see all the stuff in me that's not supposed to be there. And I need to repent. Take him by the hand. Let that light of Christ shine in my heart and through me, not only for me, but through me and to others. And just like the saints, they're new lights from heaven. They're for us. They're our teachers. They're our exegetes. They explain the scriptures, the gospels. We would be lost without them. John and the cross, we wouldn't really understand what this is all about, this perfection, this holiness, this abundant life, this complete joy that we're called to without our brothers and sisters of saints who really explain so much to us about the scriptures. So, you know, take the lives of the saints, imitate them, but come into our own, because God doesn't want another St. John of the Cross or St. Francis or St. Agatha. He wants a St. Douglas, Michael McKay, and a St. Kenneth Johnston, Allen, Kenneth Allen Johnston. Right, Ken?
There you go.
All to be called saints.
Amen. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with us, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. And if you haven't checked out our website recently, we encourage you to visit it. It's inhissign.com. That's inhissign.com. If you miss a show or part of a show and want to listen or re-listen, you can go to our website and click on content and then podcasts and get those recordings. Also, if you'd like to sponsor either this show or the show in the 5 o'clock hour, you can visit ourhouseministries.org and click on the donate button, and there's a selection there to be able to sponsor one of these hours. You can also do so directly by calling Maureen here at In His Sign. Same phone number, 610-527-2906. Quick rundown on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. And it's Father McKay and I, our engineer Patrick, and a bunch of others. We normally gather in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, across the street from the front of St. Gabriel's Church. We begin with at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. And on the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church. We get a little bigger crowd for what we call Matt Talbot Tuesday. And on that third Tuesday, we have a holy hour from 6 to 7 p.m. During that holy hour, we have confessions where Father McKay, Father Michael Shea from the Miraculous Metal Shrine, and a couple other priests sometimes come and help us with confessions. And then we have Mass at 7 o'clock. The third Tuesday in February will be the 18th. So on that particular evening, we pray for everybody in recovery, those that should be in recovery, and especially the family members, those that unfortunately have to watch their loved ones suffer and struggle with addiction. We have a Calyx unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in their parish center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, February the 6th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning and then have our Calyx meeting. The meeting at St. Luke's this month will be on February the 15th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, February the 22nd. And we're waiting on the plans to be solidified for the unit that was meeting out at the Malvern Retreat House. That unit's going to move. Father McKay's got some irons in the fire there, and as soon as we have something definite, we will pass along that information. All right. In the 5 o'clock hour, my guest has already arrived at the studio, Father John Kettleberger from the Basilica Shrine of Our Lady of the Miraculous Metal in Germantown neighborhood of Philadelphia. He'll join us at 5 o'clock, if not before, and we'll be talking about St. Catherine Laboure, the Miraculous Medal, and the Shrine. So, with that, we are going to go to the, it looks like we may be going to the phone lines. We got somebody calling in before we, well, maybe, Father, you got an Otter God?
Yeah, Sunday, I shared this with you, Ken, a couple people. I'm upstairs, and I'm, relaxing, recovering from my sickness, and the prayer mode, really enjoying the presence of God in my private chapel. And somebody's very persistent at the door, ringing the bell. So I got to go down and answer that. And I always say, my disappointments are divine appointments. You open the door, guy I'd never seen before, interested in getting involved in our mission and doing works and being more involved in our Catholic faith. And I'm saying, well, who sent you? And I'm across the street. I see Jimmy and Jingles. They're kind of smiling. And I almost say to the guy, well, come and see me tomorrow. But something moved me. He said, well, come on in. It's like a quarter of right before the 10 o'clock Mass. We come in and sit down. And it was just so God-filled. It was Spirit-filled. The next thing I know, I'm hearing his confession. It was a good confession. And we prayed together. And he never heard of Calyx. I said, well, come Tuesday night. And the next thing I know, he's going to Mass and he's receiving Holy Communion. And then as he was leaving, he ran into Pat Kennedy saying that he just ran into this priest. He went to confession. I think he was really glowing and the Lord touched him. But Otter God, it was an Otter God. Mm-hmm. It was, he came to that door, the Lord touched me and as a priest. And the next thing I know, I'm in persona Christi, absolving him from his sins and preparing him to go to church and receive Holy Communion. So many of that, Ken. Yeah. Otter God. Everything is divinely orchestrated. The Lord is present in every little act. Always. He's always there, just as he promised. I am with you always until the end of the world.
Awesome. And we do have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Angelo. Hello, Angelo.
Hey, Ken.
Hey.
Otter God I wanted to share.
Good to hear from you again. What's going on? Or what happened?
About a year ago, actually, my family and I, we were on a vacation in Mexico at a resort. I have three small kids, and there's no lifeguard at the pool. My youngest, he was 4 years old. He said he had to go to the bathroom. So I brought him up to the room. I got him undressed, and he went, did his business. I put his clothes back on, the bathing suit. We go back down to the pool, and I get down there. I'm like, oh, no, I left his swimmies upstairs. So I go over to my wife. I'm like, look, I left his swimmies up there. I got to go back up and get them. Keep an eye on them. She's like, oh, no, we're leaving in 15 minutes anyway. Let's just clean up. Let's gather all the toys and everything and go back up to the room and get ready for dinner. Now, something said to me in my ear, you got to keep your eye on him. The voice of God, like daggers the entire time, because he's fast as can be and he's all over the place. Mm. And no sooner had I thought that, I see him running towards the steps to go into the pool as I'm cleaning up toys. I could have been preoccupied and worried about getting all the toys together to go up, but I really believe an angel was on my shoulder whispering in my ear. Anyway, I'm yelling at him, don't go in, don't go, you don't have your swimmies on. He's laughing at me. He walks down the first two steps of the pool, and he's still laughing, and I'm chasing after him. And he hits the third step, and he realizes he's not floating. And he sinks like a rock, and panic comes over his face. I walked over to the edge of the pool. I scooped him out. There's this French-Canadian lady behind me looking at me like I'm the worst father in the world.
Yeah,
but the whole rest of the day, I was like, thank God that something said to me to just watch him, because that could have been really bad.
Yeah, no.
I felt guilty not to share it when it came to mind when you guys were talking, because I should give God thanks that things went that way.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. We've had the house we're in now, we've been there for 25 years, and we've got an in-ground pool in the yard, and nobody's supposed to be out there unsupervised. And my son, who's now 26, he was 3 or 4 at the time. I can still see him. He was in these overalls and a t-shirt, and he goes running across the deck of the pool and jumped in. And like you, I reached in and grabbed him by the strap of the overalls and pulled him out. And I was like, you knucklehead, what are you doing? But I think that voice, that those angels are trying to give us messages all the time. And every once in a while, I think we actually hear it. And it sounds like you had that God occasion where he protected your son through you. So that's awesome.
Good. And I kind of feel guilty, because the whole rest of the day, and even now when I think about it, I was like ready to have kittens. I was like, what if I hadn't thought that? Oh, my.
Yeah.
Like, I was losing sleep over it.
Yep. Yeah.
But in the end, it had already been taken care of, but still I was like, oh, thank God. I was a nervous wreck the whole rest of that day.
Yeah.
And
now I get it, definitely, God and the angels were on your side that day. I also owe you an apology. I did get your message, and I'll get back to you.
No worries.
All right. Thanks, pal. Always good to hear from you. Father, any comment?
Yeah, thank you, Angelo. That's a beautiful story, really, the promptings of the Holy Spirit there. And thank you for calling in, and you're becoming a regular caller. I think I'm going to have to make you a theologian. You always came up with some difficult questions, but this was an honor God sharing. Appreciate it, you know. Thank God.
No problem, Father. We miss you over at St. Richard's.
Oh, yeah, me too. I miss it over there. Yeah, but thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, Angelo, God bless you. You and your family.
God bless.
Take care
you
now.
Too,
God
guys.
Bless. All right. Bye-bye. And we've got another regular on the line, Father. The ever, uh, uh, I don't don't even know what the word was, but always talking about the Campeones. Welcome back, Frank. How you doing, pal?
That's true. Ken and Father Doug, let me say something first. Yesterday I called in Kathleen McCarthy. I listen to her every Tuesday and Thursday. Thank you so much, Kathleen. You're wonderful. You're gracious with your time and words yesterday. I really appreciate it. And Maureen, thank you also. Both of you are wonderful. And Mike Roberts, you were listening to the show. You gave me a call. I appreciate it. I was hit the trifecta yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But Ken and Father Doug, you ready for this?
I don't know. Am I?
Tough luck. Are you sitting down?
Always.
Oh, boy.
Well, you better stand up then, okay?
All right.
The New York Giants had LT, Lawrence Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys got LC. Who's that?
Larry Christensen?
No, Lou Campione.
Oh, Lou Campione.
Captain Lou, you listening? Fire Doug warning you last week. You listen every week, Captain Lou. We don't hear from you. Pick up the horn. Now the numbers, call in, 610-527-2906. Nick the mechanic, listen and tell your brother to call in. Okay, good morning.
Yeah, Nick called in the end of the show last week, I think. But,
yeah. I missed him then. I thought I was the last caller. Because yeah. Last week.
Or maybe it was the week before, sorry.
Yeah. My neuropathy in my hands and my eye problem, it took me like 15 minutes to get through. I kept down to one number. It stinks. And that was part of the problem. I was talking to Kathleen yesterday, among other things. And she's a wonderful lady. And you guys are great. And I really appreciate you guys every Wednesday. I never forget, if I'm here, I'm always going to call in because you guys were there for me, a long time ago when I couldn't get sober. You guys, Captain Lou, and everyone else. Nick was praying for me, everyone. All your listeners were praying for me. I never forget that. Yeah. Always get back when I can.
That's yeah. Awesome. How are things in the Northeast today?
A plane crash.
I know. My wife works a couple blocks.
I forgot St. Matt's. Yeah, St. Matt's, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's 1 mile north of me.
Okay.
That's it.
They had a couple of families that were really affected by it, but.
And Kathleen McCarthy's brother or brother-in-law,
Yeah.
He lives like 2 blocks from where it happened.
Yeah. Now, so, it sounds, less than, because it gets overused, but our thoughts and prayers are with all our listeners and all those impacted up there in Northeast Philly.
And just to let you know, I heard this morning the 10-year-old who was in a car, who was hit.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to make it. He had surgery at Frank Petarzell. He was put down a chap. He's doing much better now. I'm not sure if he's... His dad said they say he might not be able to walk again. I'm not sure if something else happened, but I'm still praying for Andre Howard.
Yeah, we heard this morning that he was doing better, came to, and now Tyrese Maxey from the Sixers already went to visit him, and A.J. Brown's going to go visit him. So... Good story.
So people listening, not just Andre Howard, but he's a young man, 10 years old. Keep him in your mind, people. Andre, Trey, Howard.
Yeah.
We're praying for you, Howard family.
Will do. Frank.
Well, Luke Campione, call in. Luke Campione, call in. Thanks, Ken. See you.
See
you, Frank.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. All right.
What a tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, there were a couple of families there at St. Matthew's school that were really impacted. One of the women was actually on the news, and the community really came together to help her out.
You know, I was just thinking, Ken, we're the body of Christ. When one person hurts, we all hurt. I almost feel the trauma, really concerned about the families who lost their lives. And I mean, it's terrible, the evil. And yet how evil affects us all. And yet when we do good, that good affects us all. If somebody's graduating from college, everybody's having a big party. Someone goes out and falls on drugs and winds up in Kensington, we all suffer, family members. But we are so close to one another as God's family. We are the body of Christ.
Amen. All right, phone lines are clear. If you want to try to sneak a call in, you can reach us at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. We've got about 8 or 9 minutes, Father. Maybe we can get a little bit of St. Thomas Aquinas in here.
Yeah.
All right. He was born, we think, in the year 1225. He would die on March the 7th in the year 1274. And it's interesting, when I went to Butler's, you got to go up to March 7th. Because that was his original feast day, but it's been moved back to January. Was born in Italy, like so many of our saints. Would eventually become a doctor of the church. Just a couple of things about it, you know, his humanity, if you will. He was the youngest of four sons, and there were also several daughters. The youngest little girl was killed by lightning one night, and Thomas was sleeping in the same room, but was not impacted physically. He was impacted emotionally, I guess, for the rest of his life. He didn't like thunderstorms, would often try to find a church to hide out in when that would happen. The other thing, you know, that happened was his parents wanted I'll finish this, and we got a phone call we got to take, Father. But he joined the Dominicans. His mother wanted him to be a Benedictine, so she sent her sons to actually kidnap him and basically imprison him for a couple of years, and that's when he would do some of the studying on his own. But I'm gonna stop there for a minute because I want to bring Harry on the line. Hello, Harry. How are you, brother?
Kenny, how are you?
Oh, man, it's so good to hear your voice. You know who it is, yeah, Father?
Yeah.
Harry
Pyle.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I wanted to thank you both for all the prayers. They must have worked. They let me go home.
That's what, I got to the studio a little bit early today, and when Patrick got here, he hollered into me that you were home. That's unbelievable. Glad to, I mean, you must be doing okay then, huh?
I was making them, they didn't like me being in there, and they got rid of me, one of the two.
Yeah, maybe the latter. Nah.
Yeah, but I think I'm doing okay.
Good, man, that's great news. That's great news.
Yeah, I just want to thank you all for checking up on me like you did and praying and all that.
Go ahead, Father.
I prayed at the Angelus. Yesterday for you, but I have to say this: I was actually going to text you, you know. But yesterday I just took a turn for the worse with my sickness. But I woke up 3 a.m. and you were on my mind. I lit a candle right there and then, kept you in prayer. But the power of prayer, Harry, really, you know, you're so close to our mission work, and you know we need you, and just we need to have prayers of thanksgiving. You came through all that so beautifully, successful. But you're on the mend. We keep praying for you that you get well soon. So thank you, Harry.
Yeah, I'm on the mend. That phase is over. Now we've got the next one to do. So it's all good.
All right, brother. I appreciate the call. Thanks for letting us know. And can't wait to see you in person.
It'll happen.
All right, brother.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Yep. Take it easy.
You too. Thanks for checking in.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I thought that was a little more important than Thomas Aquinas. No, but I mean, it's what the people in the medical field can do these days. And even the last message I got from Harry, it's like if you ever need the procedure done that he had done, and it was significant, that you know the experts on it are here in Philly. He had the doctor that invented it or came up with the one surgery that he had. And you know something like this, you know, 10, 20 years ago may have taken his life, and here he is, he's home already after just having the surgery on Friday and calling in. So like I said, hopefully it won't be too long until we see him in the flesh.
I felt Cindy, his beloved spouse, praying for him. I have a good sense of her presence too.
Yeah. So the only other thing I wanted to say about Aquinas, and you know, we know a lot of people that have struggled with impurity, and Saint Thomas, he was in a dream. We were told that he fell asleep, and he was visited by two angels who seemed to gird him round the waist with a cord emblematic of chastity. And this was after his brothers conceived a plan to seduce him by sending a woman to him. And so I'm familiar with an organization that if you become part of it, they actually send you a cord, and that's the Angelic Warfare Confraternity. You can look, you know, Google them or do a search for them on the internet, Angelic Warfare Confraternity, and it's for those that you know, struggle with lust or impurity. So we got about 3 minutes left, Father. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, that's good, Ken. You know, being a Dominican, you know, the Lord led him to where he wanted him to be. You look at the Dominicans like St. Dominic. You know, it's asceticism, it's study, and that's part of their ministry of preaching. They say that what one preaches is learned in prayer and contemplation. And he was such a contemplative. At night, Ken, he would go and put his head on the tabernacle for hours on end. And then he'd get up and he would write. And he would go up and preach what he contemplated. But it's just that he was such deep in prayer, such close to the Lord. But there's a beautiful writing in the Office of Readings today, and I maybe just to read a little bit about that. He talks about, you know, the cross. I think he could have been called St. Thomas of the Cross. But why did Jesus die such a terrible death? And he says, in the first place, as a remedy for sin, and secondly, to give us an example of how to love. How to love. It also shows us how much he loves us. But he says, you know, in the cross, someone said, they heard a voice from the cross when Thomas was praying. And what they heard was, like Jesus saying, Thomas, you have written well of me. Ask for anything you want, Thomas. And Thomas said, only you, Lord, only you. But he was so close to the passion of Christ. And some of the things he would write, he said, if you seek the example of love, greater love than this no man has than to lay down his life for his friends. If you're looking for patience, look at the cross. You will find no better example than the cross. Great patience occurred in two ways. You know, either when one patiently suffers much, or when one suffers things which one is able to avoid and yet does not avoid. But look at that patience. I mean, that had to take a lot of patience for Jesus to hang there in front of his mother. I mean, he had to see us, you know, that we were worth dying for, you know, to see what his mother was going through. You looking for humility? Look at the cross, Thomas says. You know, look at that humility. There's no greater condescension than that. What do you want, obedience? Look at the example of obedience he does to the Father, right to the cross. Despising earthly things, you know? Look at him. You know, if you want poverty, he gave his garments. But it's all there on the cross, Ken. That just to focus on that cross, meditate that cross, and then we become contemplative. We go beyond the cross, and God begins to reveal himself to us. We take our crosses, our sacrifices, and we offer them up. And we live the gospel like Thomas, like all the mystics. And then we get this promise from Jesus. And God has indebted himself to us that when we do this, he's going to do that. When we keep his commandments and live that Sermon on the Mount, it's glory time. He promises, I will reveal myself. He promises that I'm going to give you abundant life, complete joy, Ken, to give you all that your heart desires. Take that gospel like the saints. Marry it. Hold it to heart with Jesus. And we become mystics. We become one heart with Jesus, one spirit, one mind, one will with him. And he reveals himself to us, the kingdom of God, more than we can ask for or imagine. It's like the utter fullness of God. It's complete joy. It's everything our hearts desires. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord.
Amen. We get your blessing, Father.
Yeah, in name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we ask your blessing upon all of us, our whole world, and especially those who suffer the most, especially in the plane crash in Washington and one here in our own city, all those who are suffering and all those who are hurting in war, famine, and fires, Lord. Just bring your goodness, Lord. Bring your healing graces to us all. Let us know that you're always with us until the end of the world, and help us to follow you more clearly in the ways of salvation, in the ways of love, in the ways of mercy. And bless us all, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. For our listeners, please don't go away. We've got another hour to go, and we're going to be joined by Father John Kettleberger. He's the director of the Basilica Shrine of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal right here in Philadelphia. It should be a great hour. Don't go away. We'll be back.